All right, Hebrews chapter 11. I was praying over, always examining different things, and the Lord just kind of directed me to this passage, and kind of something simple tonight called Those Who Died in Faith. Those Who Die in Faith. And Hebrews chapter 11, let's start reading in verse number 1. You'll notice that the Word of God says this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Father, tonight, I pray you strengthen your people to continue to walk in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the world continues to go the direction it's going, the Bible does tell us that conditions will wax worse and worse. And we look in this passage here, we see something about those who died in faith that we realize that, so you can see that when we have these same type of similarities in our lives, that it's not over, that it's not in vain, that the life we're living still is worth it. The first part that we read so far, we see people with exploits of faith. You know, Enoch, he walked with God and he was not, he was translated. By faith, Abel, he offered a good sacrifice unto God, a more excellent one, and he could tell that God was pleased. Noah, by faith, he built an ark, and he saw his faith manifested, and saw it come to pass, building an ark for something that never come to the earth before called rain, you know, and 120 years. And I always, first time I learned it, I was always so amazed. Can you imagine 120 years of labor, telling people that it's going to rain, and laboring, and probably not a cloud in the sky for 120 years. Imagine that. But he continued on, believing that what God said was true, but he got to see his faith realize, because the rain did come and the rain did fall, and so he had a great exploit of faith. But we see something about, it's going to tell us about those who die in faith in this particular context. First, I want you to notice, number one, those who die in faith, number one, they die with unfulfilled promises. They die with unfulfilled promises. Because he talks about when regarding Sarah and Abraham especially, he said these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them. Abraham never got to see how his seed really was going to multiply. Sarah never really got to see how much her seed was going to multiply. And the promises that were bestowed upon them, they never got to lay hold on them. And you know, But they continued on. They actually died in faith, and they died full of faith. And there we, you know, if you and I walk with God, and the Bible tells us we should always be abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, whatever measure of faith we live and we see manifested, as we have a vision of abounding, we'll be looking for something that at whatever point we die, there will always be some promise of God that will not be fulfilled. There will always be something that has not happened yet, something we're looking for. You know, the vision that God gave me that when I came to Toronto is that God would allow a church to be established so men could be sent all over the world back to their own countries and preach the gospel to every creature. You know, and I could die before that happened. There could be people saved and while I'm here. And then when I die afterwards, they surrender and go for the preach and go for the other countries. I may never see that in my lifetime. And so there'll be unfulfilled promises even of that context. And even to see churches start all over Toronto, I hope to see that before I die. But my vision is such, I know that God has called me to that. I know that's a reality of what He would like to happen, because the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There were different years and different months, and that people did not get saved, and I believe that God would call people to repentance, but each time one did get saved, it was worth the trip. Amen. And as we go forward by faith, we see these people here. They died in faith, not having received the promises. So as you go forward sometimes, you'll be walking and you have your eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll be trusting God. You'll be doing absolutely everything the way God wants you to do them. But something won't be happening in the way that you think it should happen. Let me encourage you, that's normal. That's part of living the life. And as you've heard me say before, most people quit on God when they're living a life of faith. When they're living a life when there's no evidence that what they're doing is working. And in fact, when you sow in the garden, there's no evidence. And so these here, those who die in faith, number one, they die with unfulfilled promises. Number two, those who die in faith, they die preparing for a country they will never live to see. You ever think about that? That's kind of amazing. They die preparing for a country they will never live to see. Can you imagine me going out starting to build a house or something, and let's say I knew. Talk to the doctor, and let's say doctors were 100% right, and I had 6 months to live, and they were always right, and I'm working on building the house, and say, well, when do you have it done? Well, it'll take me 3 years to get it finished. And can you imagine me saying, you think, well, Pastor Harper, shouldn't you do something else? You're never going to see the house finished. Why are you laboring to build a house you'll never live to see? And we see in the passage here, in verse 14, it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. You know, it just blows the mind of the world that God's people would labor for a country that they're not going to live to see. The world is doing everything they can to get it now and grab it now and have it now. And when the people of God live by faith, unconcerned with the things of this world, understanding that we're just passing through this earth here, that this is all temporary, and that we labor for a God that we cannot see, for a Savior we cannot touch, and for a country we'll never live to see. It just blows people's mind away. But that's the reality of the Christian life. To labor for something that this side of eternity you can never put your hands on. That's the life of those who die in faith. And so when people try to ridicule you and say your life isn't counting for anything, and your life isn't amounting to anything, and you know what it was like when you walked in the garden with the Lord this morning. You know what it's like when you had that sweet hour of prayer that we just sang about. You know what it's like the day you got saved and God rescued you and pulled you out of that horrible pit. And you know that whatever country He's taking you to is better than here. And you're willing to go and you're willing to labor and look forward even to death, knowing that death is the doorway into the other country, you know. And it blows people away to think if you're not afraid to die. But we shouldn't be afraid to die. Death is only the beginning for the child of God. You know, and imagine if God's people really caught a hold of that. Brother Walker Missionary Papua New Guinea, when he died, I mean, when he got cancer and he got terminal cancer, I don't know how many people led to Christ after he got cancer, but they were so amazed that he just wasn't fearful of dying, and that he just talked about Christ. He preached Christ in every cancer appointment, every doctor's visit, all these opportunities, and because he was laboring for a country that he wasn't going to live to see. And so if what his labor wasn't here, he wasn't discouraged. I'm never going to get to have this. Never going to get to have that. No, I'm going to get to have all that the Savior wants me to have. Number three. Those who die in faith, they die believing that what God gave them for the present is for those in the future. They die believing that what God gave them for the present is for those in the future. Now notice verse 20. By faith Isaac, he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. These men believed that even in their passing, the present blessing they had was not for them just to be consumed of themselves, but for them to give for the heritage behind them. You know, I don't have much of an earthly inheritance, but I'm glad to have some life insurance so I can leave behind some money to those when I do die. But better than that, if something happens and I get ill and I can't pay my life insurance, I hope I leave behind a blessing of the Lord, because that'll last them. And the relationship with God. And Isaac, he believed if he blessed Jacob and Esau, that it would last him. That blessing that God had for them, given him presently, was for those in the future. And really, that type of mindset helps us to live out what God talks to us about when he said, let each esteem other better than themselves. This is really the mindset of the Christian parent. They understand when they have children, they have children to give themselves away. And the present blessings that I receive are for my children's future benefit. You know, once I got married, once I had children, I was no longer looking for some type of career or some type of thing for me here now. My thoughts began to be consumed of how I could be a better husband, better father. In fact, I was working for an engineering company, and they were going to pay the rest of my education. So I get my degree in industrial engineering, but as I was going to school, I was trying to build a new marriage, and even my children, I could just see that it wasn't worth. It was better to build a foundation to have a good relationship with my wife and my children than it was for me to build a career of something that I always really looked forward to, because I believed that what I presently have, which was time in those days, that's only I could guarantee I could that was for their future. And by the grace of God, it's worked out in a way that's been pleasing unto himself. So they died believing that what God gave them for the present is for those in the future. Many believe that everything they have right now, they said, well, if I just get done with living my life, then I can do something for somebody else. But no, just live for Christ, and you'll realize that, again, he came to the earth for others. All this present walk was for our future blessings. You think about that? Every manifestation of power, every supernatural miracle, everything he did in the present was so that you and I could be here tonight praising God on a cold, snowy day. Amen? What a God! Amen? That he would do that. And so they died. Those who die in faith die believing. They know it. They pass on a blessing. And what God gave them for the present is for those in the future. Next thing we see, number four, they died believing future victory awaits God's people. They died believing future victory awaits God's people. You know, I always believe that God can do whatever he wants to do with his people. In verse 22, it says, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. If you remember, they end up being in bondage because they end up selling everything, because Joseph was second in command of Pharaoh. They had all the famines. The people had sold their land, and they sold themselves eventually because they didn't have anything else to sell. But Joseph had faith that although they were there in the land of Egypt, their future victory was coming, and they were going to leave Egypt. And he said, well, when it happens, when you get the glory, when you get back to your own land, bury me there. Don't bury my bones in this godforsaken country. He said, when it happens, when you get the victory, you know. And sometimes when we pray, we consider it done. You know, I know like I said, Philippians 1 verse 6, he that hath begun a good work in you hath performed until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, I thank God for the day he changed my perspective to believe in, not that every person was doomed to fail, but everybody's doomed to do well, because whatever God started, he's going to finish good. Amen. And I know we can hinder it, we can yield it to a measure, but by faith, you know, I'll die in faith, believing that victory awaits God's people. If I drop dead right now, I believe that every single person in this room is going to go forward and do great heights for God. And I look forward to seeing it from whatever side. If I live another 45 years or 50 years, whatever, that would be a long time. If I live 50 years, I hope you make them like Caleb. If not, I'll be like, open your Bible. Anyway, but we see here, he said, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention. He said, now, when you go out of this land, and I'm sure you're looking around, there's famine. There's nothing to eat. And you talk, how are we ever going to get out of here? We ran out of money. We sold ourselves. He said, I know you feel like you're trapped right now. I know you feel like your life's going nowhere. I know you feel like this is the place you're going to die. But he said, no, just when you get out of here, I said, I want you to bury my bones. Amen. And if you serve God long enough, you've had some periods like that. If you've been in some situation, you thought, man, I'm never getting out of this spot. I'm always going to be stuck here. I'm always going to die here. But praise God, there's somebody somewhere that's praying for you. They said, no, all things are possible to him that believeth. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And since it works for me, it works for anybody. But those who die in faith, they die looking at some people that are currently in bondage, believing that future victory awaits God's people. Number five, they die believing that a persecuted body is a small price to pay for a resurrected one. They die believing that a persecuted body is a small price to pay for a resurrected one. In verse 35, it says, women receive their dead raised to life again. Now see, I like that kind of faith. That's exciting, amen. I think of so many horror stories that I hear about people dying and all different types of things happening. And it'd be great to go into a hospital one day and see some poor mother and her baby dead and go lay hands on the child and they come back to life. I like that kind of faith. That's exciting to me and that's encouraging to me because I'm more temporal minded. But it says there were some others here and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. They could have been freed from persecution, but they died believing that the persecuted body is a small price to pay for a resurrected one. It said they died not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Now, if we read further, we see that they went through some pretty difficult things. It says some of others had trial of cruel mockings, scourgings. That's being pretty severely beat. Yea, moreover, bonds, imprisonment. Not talking about the stock exchange there. Talking about bondage. And it says they were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with a sword. They went through all. They could have been delivered from that, some of them. But they chose to die in faith. They believed to be persecuted for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ was so much better than to have a body that was intact and everything going well in this earth without a resurrection that's pleasing unto the Lord. You know, God wasn't going to take their salvation away. You think about that? I don't think we're talking about lost people here when they didn't accept. They chose. They really think there was some degree of measure they probably could have escaped, you know. I mean, because if we can deny Christ, I mean, since you've been saved, you ever had a situation and you know you could have lifted your voice for Christ and you didn't? You know, and you deny Christ in that time. And they could have did the same thing. And you're still saved today. And here they could have did the same thing. And they could have died. But there's a better resurrection. A resurrection that somehow places them and it gives them an extra crown to put at the Savior's feet. You know, I think back different times. You know, when you love somebody, and I don't know if you ever have somebody you really care about and they have a special day coming and you want to give a gift and you want to do something nice and you don't have anything to give. Or you have something you really like to give, you know. You know, every time I have an anniversary, you know, I end up walking by a mall trying to find my wife something, and I walk by Burke's, and I see these stones about this big, you know. Thinking, I wish I had the kind of money that I could give my wife a stone like that and not feel guilty about it. And I wish I could give one and still pay rent, you know, and eat like that. And because when I think about her worth, I think about that. And even sometimes I drive by a car lot and I think about my church family and different vehicles they have. I think, man, I wish I had the kind of money I could just go pick them all up, cars, and especially weather like this, you know, or just... And things like that. And I think of gifts and things like that. When people you love, you wish you could do something for them and to give like that. But they understood here that, you know what, this with, and imagine standing before the Lord and God doesn't want our money. But and He really just wants us. But imagine the honor would be to lay a crown at His feet because you were like Him. Could you serve like Him? I mean, that was the better resurrection. To be before the Savior and to have something you can actually give to honor Him when His time of honor is there. To die believing that a persecuted body is a small price to pay for the resurrected one. And this one will help you in our current generation. The next one, number 6. To die with a worth that is never seen through wealth, earthly influence, or prosperity. They die with a worth that is never seen through wealth, earthly influence, or prosperity. Now these are those that die in faith. We're not talking about the faithless here. Depending on what television channel you turn on, this will be the faithless group. Because if you do it all right, then everything works out, you have prosperity, you have all these things going well for you. But this passage in the Word of God is written specifically to people that walked in faith and lived in faith. And look at verse 37 again. Notice what it says, and they were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins. They weren't shopping at the mall. And goatskins. Well, that may have been Walmart, I don't know. And being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now notice what it said about their worth here. These people are so valuable, of whom the world was not worthy. When the type of faith they live is that the world wasn't worthy of them. And wait a minute. They wandered about? I mean, they were just sheepskins and goatskins? The world wasn't worthy of them? Surely, God must have cursed people like that. I mean, no. This is being destitute. See, back home, we call that poor. See, destitute is not, when you're destitute, that's beyond poor. That's what you call poor. And they were destitute. And God says the world wasn't worthy of them. He said they wandered in deserts, verse 38, and in the mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. They probably prayed that God would provide some different clothing. They probably prayed that they'd be able to rest somewhere. But they continued faithful. They had the good report of faith as they waited for God to answer. And they died not receiving the promise. They died with a worth that had never seen through wealth, earthly influence, or prosperity. If we truly live like the Bible tells us to live, yea, and all who love God in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You know, I like to believe that if I love God in Christ, He just, that man, everything just goes well. But you know, the joy that you have is better than any earthly circumstances around it. It's like what Elizabeth was sharing about a joy, you know. And I know I have no different family members that have more money, more possession, different things like that, but they don't have that joy that carries them through a different situation. They have opportunities, wealth, influence, even earthly prosperity. But I think of people that had everything going for them and they had so little self-worth they committed suicide. I mean, based on this, they had wealth, earthly influence, prosperity, and it wasn't enough. But when you have faith, you have a worth that is greater than any of those things. I was talking to the missionary I was talking to, and that wants me to come to South Africa. I remember his wife was telling a story that when they first got to the field, they have these parasites in South Africa, and they get into your skin, you know, and it's like they're one of their children. It was in the back of their calf there, and it pops out with eyes, and then it goes back into the skin. And so finally, what she had to do was, when it popped out, you grab it with these like pliers type things, and you pull it out of his. And he's like, and my wife telling me, I was like, whoa. My wife. Now they actually want me and my wife to come. My wife said, "You're going by yourself there." But here, what I'm saying is, I mean, and that was, you think about it, that's something you go through. I mean, you don't think about those type of negative situations when you just live in life of faith. And she knew missionaries had been on the field for years and years and never had a one. And they were there just a short period of time, and here are our children, not one but two. I think both of them got them. I think one of them had one in the belly, you know, and had to pull it out, you know, and just, can you imagine looking at your son's leg and you see these eyes and it whoop, pops in the skin. And the things people go through just living life with faith, you know. They left comforts. They left a lot of clean places and hygiene. But they are walking in faith, and they're still there, I think 20 some odd years later. But because they understand that when you live a life of faith, earthly circumstances aren't always the greatest. God lets you go through some things to build you. One of the things we talked about at the meeting, and I've preached it before, about comfort. When you go through difficult times, when you get comforted, it's so you can comfort somebody else. And so thank God for that. But those who die in faith, number one, they die with unfulfilled promises. Those who die in faith, number two, they die preparing for a country they will never live to see. Number three, those who die in faith, they die believing that what God gave them in the present is for them or those in the future. Number four, those who die in faith, they die believing future victory awaits God's people. Those who die in faith, they die believing that a persecuted body is a small price to pay for a resurrected one. Those who die in faith, they die with a worth that is never seen through wealth, earthly influence, or prosperity. And last of all, those who die in faith, they simply die like Jesus Christ. Because that's everything our Savior was. You know, when he went to the cross, I mean, he didn't, where was the proof he's going to be raised from the dead? He just knew it was going to happen later. He had to wait for a promise to be fulfilled. He had to wait for a promise that could only be fulfilled by his death. He died preparing a country. He actually went to prepare a country. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you. Where I come, there you may be also." And he died believing that as he gave his blood and his body to be burned presently, it can make a difference for you and I in the future. Thank God he did. And he died believing that future victory awaits God's people. He believed that the blood he shed and the mockings and the scourgings and everything he went through, it was worth it to glorify the Heavenly Father. And so Ryan Harper could be saved one day. And put your name in there, amen. But I just can't get over mine. So he died believing that. And he died believing the persecuted body was a small price to pay for the power to be manifested by his own resurrection. Imagine, I love to think about the disciples and how they were all cowards and they forsook him and fled. But oh, after the resurrection, once the reality of the resurrection hit, man, they were totally different individuals. They could walk into death, and each one of them, as far as I understand, died a martyr's death. They died in faith. And Jesus, our Savior, as far as I know, he didn't have any wealth. Didn't have much earthly influence because they put him to death. They loved him so much they crucified him. And whatever prosperity he had, you know, just like your athletes, you know, "Hosanna, Hosanna," you know, next thing, you know, they curse him, you know. One man, they praise him for their greatness. And next moment, their glory means nothing. That's why our Savior is treated. You know, one minute he's the king, the next thing they want a thief and a murderer. Give us Barabbas. They couldn't, and you know, you think about that, they couldn't even give him a reason why. He said, why? What evil hath he done? No, just get, they cried the more, crucify him, give us Barabbas. Couldn't find one thing wrong with him, but they just chose a murderer. And may God help us to enjoy the trip, amen. See, when you die in faith, the key to dying in faith is where your eyes are at. As you're looking unto Jesus, in fact, it tells us that, and it knew we would kind of be stunned, so God put chapter 12 in there. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. God knew he'd be looking at that and said, wow, man, this Christian life. He said, just keep looking to Jesus. He's doing okay right now. He's in the right hand of the Father. He's sitting down. He's not worried about a thing. Amen. And there'll come a day that God gives his people rest. But as we get to there, let's not be afraid to walk in faith. And let's remember what the life that our Savior lived. And always remember the servant is not greater than his master. I can't remember what day it was, but I remember repenting and asking God to forgive me for wanting a life better than Jesus Christ. Because you know, that's really when I get discouraged, when I want a life better than the Lord Jesus Christ had. But when I'm just looking unto him and just walking with him, nothing's going to happen to me worse than happened to him. So then there's never a reason to be discouraged, because since I'm not greater than my master, why should I expect any more than him? Then anything that happens above the cross is icing on the cake. Hey, if I get mocked and live to tell about it, that's a pretty good day. If I get cursed and live to tell about it, if I get cursed and not beat, that's a pretty good day. Amen. And so thank the Lord for that. So Father, tonight, we thank you for a faith that's worth living for. And Father, if it so be that you call us to die in faith as these saints we read about in this room, you give us the grace just to keep looking unto Jesus, and praising you all the way there. Lord, I thank you for the life you called me to live. And I'm thankful that I can see it tonight through your eyes. And Lord, you know the different times, even in my weakness of my flesh, that I want it better. But oh, Father, I thank you for the joy that floods my soul as I think about you tonight and how much you love me to live this life. Not only be willing to live a life of faith. Certainly there was joy when you healed entire cities and people thronged upon you. But oh, Father, you knew that wasn't going to be the way it was going to end. You knew that all those shouts would be shouts of murder later. And you were willing to live the victory and also live what many on the earth thought at that time, also live the defeat. But Father, I'm thankful that you know better. And I'm thankful that you gave us the Word of God tonight for us to know better. So Father, tonight, if there be anyone here that's maybe struggling or just walking through anything difficult, they've been praying for something a long time and they just haven't seen it yet, I pray you encourage their heart, that you strengthen them. And Father, maybe someone gets a little bit weary, they see prosperity all around them and they're just trying to live for Christ and they're a little bit frustrated, helping to realize the faithful saints always lived for a country they would never see. And Lord, I just pray that we'd never be so consumed with ourselves that we not esteem other better than ourselves. And Lord, I just pray that if we come to be persecuted, help us to faithfully stand for Christ. Help us to willingly take verbal abuse so we can be ready if at times come we must be persecuted. And oh Lord, help us not to live. Help us to set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. Thank you for being a great God tonight, Lord. Thank you for the precious people that came out in this terrible weather just to hear from thee. I trust everyone was strengthened and encouraged and thankful for the Savior that you are. Help us to love you more. In Jesus' name I ask this all.